Mind turning with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Alrighty. So, this is the second to last sermon that we will be doing in 1 Corinthians. And then after that, we will be concluding 1 Corinthians. Probably not next week or the week after, but probably the week after that, at the end of the year. It's like perfect. And so it's kind of like, in my mind, it's kind of a big thing because we've been in 1 Corinthians for so long, and it's been a blessing, I think, for us to go over what it is that Paul told Corinth. The plan, though, is that next week will be a special sermon, and then at the end of the year we'll finish this. We'll have a question and answers at the beginning of the year, and then we'll go into Obadiah for like a month because there's only 23 verses. Has anyone ever heard a sermon series on Obadiah? Just curious. No? It's exciting, isn't it? It's always fun to do those. I remember one time, I think it was David, who was like, no one's ever preached on Joel before. It's like, I know, it's fun. All right, so with that, that's just what I wanted to let you guys know, what the plan is for the next few months. And then after that, I believe after Obadiah, I believe we'll go to 1 Timothy. That's kind of where I'm leaning right now, because I think that there's a lot of good that we could remember about what ministry is and what we're called to be as God's people in Timothy. So that's why I want to go that route. With that, though, let's go ahead to our... Let's see, what are we talking about? We're talking about 1 Corinthians. So last time we were in 1 Corinthians, we had looked at Paul's plans for travel. He had discussed, for example, his goal to go to Corinth after he had gone through Galatia. Ultimately, he did not go that route. And ultimately, what had happened was, is that he decided to go right to Corinth. Still, here's Corinth. This is where it's at. And ultimately, it was right there in the middle of the Roman Empire. It was... became an important trading hub, and it's really why Paul chose that to be his kind of base when it comes to that area, because of its influence. So with that, let's go ahead to 1 Corinthians 16. We'll read verse 13 first by itself. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. So Paul continues by encouraging the congregation to be watchful. The concept of being a watchman is well seen in the Old Testament, especially when it comes to being watchful for the day of the Lord. Thus, even in the New Testament, it can have an eschatological end times overtone to it to be watchful. However, there are also places in the New Testament where to be watchful is not end times eschatological, but to be on guard against sinfulness and false teachings. In this sense, to be a watchman is to be watching for an enemy who seeks to destroy, to be on guard against things that would seek to turn away from the truth of faith. Hence, to stand firm in the faith makes sense in this capacity. The faith is the same faith described throughout 1 Corinthians. It is the gospel itself, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. That salvation does not entail utter liberty to do whatever we want, whenever we want, but that it leads to freedom from sin and death through Jesus who saves. Hence the next two admonitions, act like men, be strong. There are two ways to look at this. The first is we have a responsibility to be brave against the battle before us, to not cower when false teachings arise or when sinfulness is seen, but to combat it, combat both in ourselves and the congregation and ultimately the world. Oftentimes, we can fear the repercussions of calling sin, sin. But instead, we should be strong in recognizing that we have a firm foundation for calling evil, evil, and good, good, which is God himself. Like the men who go to battle to defend their homes and families, so too should we act when it comes to the faith. The second way Paul can mean to act like men is in regards to maturity. Towards the end of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, when he became a man, he put childish ways behind him. In becoming mature, we cease to think like we once did. We are no longer thinking of ourselves or behaving as children, but as mature adults. In both cases, we find the need to be more than what we once were. There is, however, a recognition in verse 14. While we do act like men, while we are strong, while we do defend and be watchful, and while we do stand firm on the faith, that does not mean we can act however we want. Instead, we do so in love. Love as described in the entirety of chapter 13. So now we come to verses 15 through 18. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts of Achaia, in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. So Paul now makes a request to the Corinthians. The household of Stephanas were among the first to become believers in Achaia. That Paul calls them the first may represent the first fruits motif found in the Levitical feasts of the first fruits, where the first fruits represent the coming harvest. Since coming to faith, they had been the faithful in their devotion in their service to the saints. What that service looks like, we are unsure, whether it was hospitality, providing a place for worship in their house, preaching and teaching, or perhaps much of the above, all of it. Still, Paul encourages in verse 16 that the rest of the congregation be subject to people who are faithful to their calling. Not only is Paul recognizing the Stephanas household a wise choice, seeing as they are from Corinth and thus can provide an example to the Corinthians in real time, but also every fellow worker and laborer. This may be an encouragement to receive Timothy with peace, as mentioned above. The ultimate point is that the faithful should have the most respect in a congregation when it comes to leadership. Those who labor in faith, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of prosperity, should be the ones the congregation lifts up as the example for the congregation. We are to look around and see the faithfulness of others and seek to emulate such things in our midst. He now mentions Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus specifically. It appears that these three were the ones who brought the letter to Paul. And having them come, he has been blessed with their presence, and that which was lacking, that is the rest of the Corinthians, has been filled with them. Despite the somewhat hostile nature of the letter, Paul never ceases to love the Corinthians as fellow believers. He concludes with this notion with verse 18. Here he recognizes that he has been refreshed by these fellow believers and their fellowship with one another. He can't help but notice that these same believers provide the same refreshment to the Corinthians from which they come. A reminder that faithful people leads to a refreshment among God's people. Thus, such individuals of the faith who have continued in such a manner should be recognized among the congregation. Again, faithfulness should be rejoiced over. It should be emulated. When we see the faithful among us, we should seek to say, how can I be more like that? We provide the examples for each other in each other's midst. And as such, we rejoice in each other's faithfulness and seek to encourage faithfulness in each other. So the main point of these verses are for Paul to encourage the Corinthians to be mature rather than immature in their ways. Maturity looks like being watchful, standing firm, acting like men, and being strong, and doing everything in love. Paul then requests that the Corinthians seek those such as Stephanas and his household to be subject to, and also to emulate, as individuals who were the first fruits, as well as the faithful, even in their midst. So as we conclude 1 Corinthians, we have seen some specific applications given to the Corinthians themselves. When it comes to giving, as well as Paul's travel plans to visit them through the winter. Now, we come to one of the final applications, which is to be watchful and firm in the faith, act like man, be strong, and all that they do be done in love. What I find interesting in this is what Paul then does. He then gives an example among their congregation of what it means to do this. He speaks of the house of Stephanas as a model to the very kind of character which he wants them to emulate. They had been among the first of Achaia to believe, and they have continued to stand firm in the faith since they first believed. For them to be the ones whom the congregation subjects itself to, and to these being individuals who are to receive the recognition among the congregation, is important. It reminds us that it is not so much about who is the loudest, or who is the most skilled, or the most accomplished, but the one who is the most faithful that we should be looking at when it comes to the congregation as a whole. Those who watch and make sure that we are not falling into fallacy, who are making sure that demonic thought isn't influencing the congregation, that are examining what the culture is proclaiming and then responding to it with the truth of the gospel. Those who are standing firm in the faith of Christ, not only in regards to belief, but also in regards to responsibility, recognizing we are only saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, but that this entails a responsible people who will live their lives out in faithfulness to what God has called them to do and to be. Those who act like men, who are mature, who do not reason as a child, thinking only of how to get one what one wants, or only thinking and acting for oneself, instead recognizing that with the faith comes maturity and the need for us to let go of our childish ways, to grow up, to be responsible, to act as we are supposed to act. Those who are strong, strong in regards to the word, strong in regards to not allowing sin to lead, and those who are willing to be obedient in the face of those who would oppose such obedience, who are willing to say what needs to be said concerning evil and sinfulness, not only in the world and in culture, but also in our very midst. Those who persevere despite the world around them. Finally, those who would do all these things in love, who do not boast in themselves or are proud in themselves, but those who honestly want what is best for their families, for the congregation, for the world itself. To stand firm in the face of evil, but to do so in love. Not in acceptance of evil, nor in weakness or powerlessness, but in love which is patient and kind, does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth, which bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. As such, he describes the type of people they are to be. What he does next, however, is what has me fascinated. In a roundabout way, he then gives them living, breathing examples of what he means through the household of Stephanas. They have acted in the way which Paul says and which he has now described. That Paul turns slightly and points out the Stephanas household is a reminder to us as well. Oftentimes, we focus greatly on those who come from the scriptures as our examples. We think of Peter, Paul, the apostles, the prophets, and we think, how I wish I could have met them and learned from them and been like them. I think that these are all good. They were unique individuals who lived and had their own faithfulness put to the test. However, what we need to also remember is that there are those around us who have accomplished the same in their own right. Paul does not immediately point to the apostles as the examples, but to those who they can see and experience firsthand, who have lived out in such obedience and faith. As such, I wonder how often we look around at the faithful here and think, you know, Paul would have said something good about them. How often do we see each other in the light and think, these individuals are the ones who we should be learning from when it comes to faithfulness? In other words, how often are we being watchful for the faithfulness that is in our midst, seeking to emulate the strong among us? I know for myself, I am at the highest of advantages. I know everyone better than most here. I have encountered everyone in their faithfulness more so than others. I could write on and on about everyone here and the joy I have experienced in personal faithfulness, and also seeing personal growth and maturity, which many here have shown over the years. Indeed, a great reminder that age has little to do with personal growth. And to be honest, everyone here has shined brighter than the sun at times when it comes to faithfulness. Oftentimes, we think about the examples as being just the apostles and saints of old. I know, however, that there are many among us who are strong. I look around and I'm able to see individuals who are doing exactly what they ought to be doing for the sake of Christ. And in this, I look to them as examples and leaders within the congregation as a whole. Indeed, we can simply look to each other much of the time to understand what faithfulness looks like in the present. We can see faithful husbands, faithful wives, faithful fathers, faithful mothers, faithful daughters, faithful sons, faithful preachers, faithful teachers, faithful prayer warriors, faithful individuals who show hospitality and love toward one another. We can see individuals who are utilizing their gifts not for their own glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ, who are seeking to grow in maturity, strength, and being ever watchful. Does everyone do it perfectly all the time? No. We all have our struggles, to be sure, but that doesn't negate the faithfulness and just how wonderful such faithfulness is to Christ. It shows each of us what it means to live this life here and now in the flux of the day for God's glory. Everyone here has been an example in something, and in such things we rejoice. And indeed, to those who are most faithful, we recognize as the leaders. The leaders of the congregation are not the most eloquent or the most knowledgeable or even the ones who do the most things. No, the leaders of the church are those who are faithful with what God has called them to do and therefore sets the example to the rest of us. Notice the way that Paul describes the household of Stephanas. They have been faithful to their service, faithful to what they were called to do and to be in this world. It is no different for the leadership of the church in the modern age. Unfortunately, we have a habit of becoming star-obsessed. We can think of those with great ministries and who have traveled the world and have done so much. Yet what of their faithfulness? One of the most difficult things to happen to us is when someone we admire and respect falls. One such individual for me, for example, was Rabbi Zacharias. He was an individual I greatly respected. Someone who had done all the things that this world would call good, was knowledgeable, kind, gracious, went all over the world to proclaim the gospel. When he passed away this past few years now, we were saddened. Then as time went on, our sorrow turned to horror as we learned he had abused his station for the purpose of his own sinful gratifications, where reports turned into investigations and turned into secret sexual deviancies being made public. What does this remind us of? It reminds us that it is not the most traveled, the most intellectual, the one who seemed to accomplish the most things that we should emulate, but simply the most faithful among us. Those who look to the scriptures in order to gain wisdom and knowledge as the way in which they are to live their lives in obedience with the one and only King of all, Jesus Christ. Let us not do either of the following. Let us not become too starstruck by those who have accomplished much as to assume their faithfulness. Let us also not become content with our own faithfulness. Instead, let us seek to grow in faithfulness as obedient followers of Jesus Christ, and let us seek to honor him above all else. Let us also look around us to see the faithfulness of others, so that way we might be able to better serve our Lord. To mimic the faithfulness of others around us so that we can honor Christ the way the faithful do. To see the shining glory found in the obedient faithfulness of each other, being only satisfied as we each continue to grow in that faithfulness to cover all of our lives. Ultimately, each of us is called to be strong in the face of this world. We're all called to stand firm on the truth, to be mature. As we do, let us shine brightly for God's glory, knowing we can light this dark world so that way we can share our strength with each other, trusting in the Lord of all things to guide us further into his glory. And I think all this leads us to the gospel. I mean, without the gospel, you have no light at all. Instead, it's a very, very dark world without the gospel. And what does the gospel begin with? It begins with our origins. We are all created in the image of God, that each and every one of us, male or female, are made in God's image, and that this is a wonderful thing for us. We're not here by accident. We're not here because we have just invented ourselves. We are here because we have been uniquely made, each and every person. And that each and every person has this touch of the divine on them. But what's so heartbreaking, what is so earth-shattering, is that so often we can just allow sin to come in and we just are apathetic about it. We can chisel away at our own bodies. We can continue to break down and allow sinfulness to disrupt what is good in our lives. We can allow it to break our relationships. We can allow it to break each other. We can allow it to hurt and to hinder. And it's painful. It's never good. And it's no wonder why God has to destroy evil as he does, and why we deserve such a judgment as we have received. But if that is the case, and if it is the case that we have all failed and we've all been unsuccessful at attaining the glory of God, then how can we be saved? Well, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. Stand firm in the faith. The faith that Jesus saves, and that it is by grace alone that we are saved, by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. As such, where does it lead? Well, if we follow after Jesus in this life, it leads to light being led to light. It leads to us being able to shine brightly before others, that we can emulate one another in faithfulness, that we can see what is good and true and beautiful here in our midst. But then it leads to those very things are the things that last for eternity. Earlier in the letter, Paul says, build your lives on foundations which are made of gold, precious metals. Why does he say that? Because they last. And what he means is live your lives in faith, because that's going to last. We know that the Lord is good. We know that he is worthy. Let us live our lives in this truth, and let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you have accomplished through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have not only saved each of us as individuals, but you have also saved us as congregations. You have saved us as a people for your glory. And that, Lord, we can be changed and we can emulate those faithful around us, that we can live our lives even better than we are right now. And we can seek to honor you with more than what we're honoring you with now. So, Lord, as we continue to grow as a people, as we continue to grow as individuals, let the congregation be light among light. Let us shine brightly for your glory, and let us see each other shine in faithfulness. And, Lord, let us not forget to look around and say, ah, yes, that's who I need to act like, because they are acting like Jesus, because they love Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you so much that he has come to redeem us. And Lord, we thank you for each other, that we have such faithfulness in our midst. We thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please rise.